mai avem șoșul la asta. No, just leave members, because I know members generally. But the alcoholics that have invited us to come and make presentation, it seemed that, yeah, I think it'd be a good idea for them to intro to them first. Kevin, you're welcome. I know that your Papalosis is far away from here. Maybe to start the pride and just intro to ourselves. But if you are invited, colleagues who are here to give presentation and make us understand better the disaster management amenities. Thank you for coming. Let us introduce ourselves and let me start with you.
Thank you, my name is Johan Jimmy. I represent the Disaster Management Institute of Southern Africa, which is a non-profit professional association for disaster management practitioners. So the guys on the ground doing disaster management, they want to ask us to use them in the support center. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you very much, Joseva. Department.
Good morning, my name is Gertrude Basel. I'm representing the Department of Disaster Management. I work for the National Disaster Management Center in the unit registration for the 65.
Good morning, I'm Alberto Francioli. I'm from the Research Alliance for Disaster and Risk Reduction at Stellenbosch University. We're part of a consortium of 11 African universities that does education and research and capability in risk reduction field. I'm also with my colleague, Dr. Al-Tawali, who's running the next study for him.
What's your view? Okay, no, thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Shosham, director of the Disaster Management Training and Education Center at the University of the East. We're doing postgraduate training.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming for this. We are welcome in Parliament and will assist us to deal with the disaster management and disaster management. Welcome on the members and let us start with our presentation. Dr. Jordan, I'm sure that you are the one who are going to give a presentation. And then maybe also we can also train all members to start with training for members of Parliament on disaster management. And then I think they'll be this tomorrow. Okay, Doctor, you can take us.
Thank you. When you come and listen to my issues, you have to come to your feedback.
Well, we are joining you. You invite us. Okay.
Thank you, your colleague in the English, for the opportunity. I want to start to say that I'm a natural scientist and then you come to the economy. So I'm not a lawyer. And viewing acts and laws is really not my thing. I can tell you about the science behind it. So I'm not going to comment on specific wording and context and so forth. I want to share with you feedback from problems that we experience, things that I think from a practical point of view should be in the action. And I will say something about a few of the concepts. If we look at the goal section, that's a redefinition of adaptation, and further on as well as a number of places, we're talking about adaptation to climate change. I think climate change is such a brain for human problems. My first concern is that the future adaptation to global change. Global change includes population growth, it includes population movement, for example, the xenophobia that we experience currently. We cannot say that we need to adapt to climate change. We need to adapt to global change, because populations are moving all up. Economies are changing. So in most places in the document, section of B as well, I would also recommend that we change climate change to global change. And then, in the definitions, we should include the international definition of global change. Where global change covers, it includes climate change, population growth, and so on. So that is one of the first things of the working condition to look at in the book. But then also, second, still talking about the NDIF as the national platform, where the national platform for GRR is included. But the national forum should not only be the national platform for DRR to develop the risk reduction, but for the whole cycle. The DRR as well as the constant recovery. It should include the whole cycle. I know the motivation is to include the sort of to merge the current factors of DRR with the NDIF, but in the end, the NDIF should be the national platform for DRR as well as the constant recovery. The issue of financing of DRR, after risk reduction, is to me not clearly addressed in the act. We need to a lot of other acts, yes, but I don't think it's clear that in the act. And now, from the disaster management perspective, we are going to support other departments for DRR, specifically for DRR. We all agree that DRR is after risk reduction. Is actually what we need to focus on. And there's funding mechanisms for response, for recovery, etc. But to me, DRR, funding for DRR is not exclusively in place. My next point is the relationship between the different tiers of government, from the NDC, the provincial profit management centers, and down to locals. In the previous act, as well as in the bill, from a management point of view and from a point of view of accountability and control, there's no line functioning from national government process. It has to be managed from the abroad. It's still not the best in the media. I would like, as a manager, to see better accountability from the grassroots level to process up to national the bill as it is currently, or the act as it is currently, the responsibility and accountability is to the different levels of government, but not necessarily to national level. And that's a personal issue that I personally think that if you have that accountability from national down to grassroots level, it will be easier to manage, you can have better control, and you can implement the act in the The third issue that I think is still lacking in the act in the world is the use of symbols, signs, etc. I know we are using, for example, green for disaster management, green light, etc. My question is, shouldn't that somehow be also discussed somewhere in the act where you say, okay, for disaster management, if you are disaster management, this is the type of symbols. Like the blue security. I met that somewhere as well. I want to praise the fact that the SADF and the SAPS, the role is now included in the act. I think it was a shortcoming, the gap in the previous act. In the new role, they are specifically mentioned that they have a role to play in the disaster response. One of the main problems that we experience in the field, especially with a slow onset disaster such as drought, And we all know that drought is actually a disaster which has the biggest impact on our economy and in South Africa, and in Africa for that matter. But the whole process of responding to drought is too long. It's very, the bureaucratic processes is really failing the people who we are supposed to support. In many cases, provinces do apply to national, and by the time national going down to the ground to do the inspections, it's already the first rains already fell, and the area looks green, and in most cases, people from with respect to the NDC, I don't think there's anybody with background in agriculture and knowledge in drought, but they have to do the final inspections, and when they arrive on the ground, it already looks green. But the impact of drought is normally much longer after the first drought. And that whole process is taking way too long. To give you an example, in the Northern Cape, they received money about a year ago for drought, last year. And by the time money was approved, many of the farmers said, you know, it's way too late. We already lost animals, we already purchased, we already exhausted our own resources. And they didn't claim the money that was supposed to claim. So the Northern Cape, for example, they ended up with a surplus of 7.7 million from that specific drought. They experienced another drought this year in the Louis-Fontein area, a very serious drought. They went through all the processes. They requested National to use utilize that 7.7 million for this current drought. But National is not even seeing the money that. So in the meantime, animals are dying. People have got water. So that whole process of the whole bureaucratic process is really not serving the people we are supposed to be served. My proposal is that somehow we must make provision in the Act for pre-approved contingency plans. Where it will serve for incidents like that, that we have pre-approved plans, that the money can flow in charge and not too late. As I said, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know exactly how to put in the Act of the way, but I really think that is something that we need to do. In all my research, I like to know something. One of the main problems of the health of the constant support is the fact that it's always too late, and the bureaucratic process. The other problem about volunteers, I think it's not properly addressed. In terms of if I, for example, volunteer my vehicle or my personal vehicle, or if I, as an individual, become involved as a volunteer, the issue around insurance, personal insurance, around insurance of your vehicles, how will that be addressed? And we all know that volunteers in South Africa is not volunteers anymore. They speak funding. And the Act will be in the new role that that is not addressed properly. How are we going to treat those people? If my vehicle is an accident and my insurance company don't want to pay out because they should know if you're using for something outside to the normal purpose. And I think that should be addressed. What I also missed, and that is something that we all the media spoke about, the centralization of the developer management functions, because it's a coordinating function. It will make so much more, and this was the opportunity, I think, in this world, to make sure that the function of the developer management is included in the fact that we move from the office of the president, the premier's office, and at local level, more centrally at either the municipal ministry. I don't see that. I mean, we spoke about this now for many years, so I think that should get our attention urgently. Because one of the reasons why I personally think the implementation is unsuccessful is because of the location of the Act. It's difficult for other line departments to you know, to listen to the NDC, the NDC is also in another arm department. So that coordination, I believe, will be much better if the funding is in. And there are good examples from many other countries all over the world and in Africa where that function is placed within the office of the president, very decentralized, and in general, I believe. I want to conclude to say that I think that even the first act was a good act. We had an excellent framework compared to the national standards. The fact that we're not implementing that act properly is because people don't really understand the full disaster management cycle. At local level, it is the local people and the local firemen who are appointed to run the disaster management function. So DRR is to a large extent ignored. And in many cases, people are appointed in senior positions that don't understand this function. The fact that we need to focus on DRR, and in the meantime, they have to be responsible for that. So we can change this as however we want. We're not going to become the people and make sure that people stay in positions. Instead of changing and appointing people every 4 years, having a lot of actors, I've never seen so many actors at the NDC, and I've been involved in 2002, I think we only had 30-minute appointments. Everybody was acting in between. So they cannot be continued if that is how we're going to manage this function. I want to conclude by saying that we need to take it off the management. We are all serious in this country. Then we will make a difference. It's not a lot of this. And that is the stretch of promotion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dayoda. No. Come this side, I know that you are busy in this way. Okay, colleagues, I think what we should do, take some few minutes and then engage with Dr. Jordan. He has raised a lot of issues that the interest member of parliament is in the one to call some questions to clarify themselves, also to understand when they have the bill, we wouldn't be affected to amend the bill before the bill is implemented. And one hour now.
Okay, just two questions, and I thank the doctor for his input, great value. Your question about the symbols and sirens used by the document, I agree with you in principle, surely that's something that should be dealt with by regulation rather than in an act itself. And I think that's something that needs to take into account. The second question goes about the centralization under the office of the President, Premier and Minister Manager. I have to ask why. It's a specialized function. Why would you want to centralize it under the office of the president? Why would you want to centralize under the office of the president? We have a department, Department of Governance, that is cross-cutting down through all spheres of government, and it seems to me that that's the right place to do it. I also have a concern about the ability, you spoke about the responsibility for DRR being placed on the traffic officer or the fire chief, and I agree with you in many respects that is the case. I have a concern here, and maybe the government's not the right person to answer this, maybe the department needs to answer it. I have a concern about the ability of particularly the smaller municipalities who don't have the capacity to appoint a person of quality. I think, for example, I'll use an example from my province, a crazy municipality around Jansenville in the Eastern Cape. it's a tiny little municipality. They don't have much in the way of resources. To find someone who is qualified to do this properly is going to be extremely difficult. And that's my understanding why the bill then faces the onus on district municipalities and district disaster management entities to provide that support and capacity to those.
The doctor, I think what you should do, check few, I know doctors are able to know everything, but take few questions.
On question 10, Chair, then. Thank you very much, Chair. On question 10, Chair. I don't understand the logic of having volunteers having insurance. How are you going to do that to ensure something that is not there? And you don't know the value of such properties. Because here an example is made of a battery, that when you use your battery, somebody must pay you. How are you going to do that? What type of a battery is this? The size, the model, and all that. How is the insurance you want this to be covered in the bill? Why do you think it must be covered on the bill instead of it? Maybe have some regulations, be regulated some. To me, I don't see the logic on it. Maybe you can explain it better. And also, unpack for me what you mean by volunteers if they still have to be. You look at issues all of long-term insurance policies and also the question of compensation. I think we must separate something there. Then.
Okay. Let me invite Dr. Sukuna, who does know that. Dr. Okay, let me check this one. Okay. Let me check this. And I will show you.
I have some issue of comparison between climate change and global change. I think we need to really unpack it, because climate and global change, I think that there is something different here, the meaning.
Okay, Dr. Let us invite you.
I think the first two questions that were raised here is linked, basically linked together. The centralization, the disaster management has got a coordinator in front. And they don't necessarily need to have all the equipment and whatever to respond. They cannot build roads around it, but they need to coordinate. And I was always saying that the disaster manager is supposed to be more conscious of the development plan. I don't ask what it is. The implication is that it's a more centralized location. They have access to all the line departments who are doing the plan right from the beginning, whether you do water affairs, agriculture, or roads and transport. So they can really be the conscious of the development planners in the country when they ask for what it is. And do a proper risk analysis at national level, provincial and local level. And give that risk analysis to feed into all the development plan. And it's my personal opinion that if it's centrally recovered, it will be so much easier to enforce risk assessment and risk reduction into all development plans. Whereas it is currently into cooperative governance. I just think it will be so much easier to do that. Also, at local municipalities, if it was under the office of the city manager, from a centralist point of view, the city manager at local municipality, and a district and even a local municipality, will be able to elevate the importance of risk reduction, of DRR, and the importance of disaster risk assessment. Currently, because it is sort of sidelined to one of the response departments in most places, and the capacity is there for response, but I can assure you, few responders understand the context of the DRR. And I believe that if you enter into budget, even at small municipalities, the DRR will see so much more energy. And implementation of capital reserve is true. In terms of volunteers, the fact of the matter is, well, not only South Africa, I think all the developing countries in the world, volunteer is not a volunteer anymore. People volunteer because they don't have jobs, because they want to be paid. That poses a specific problem for us, like in a developed country, volunteers don't receive funding. The government they really volunteer. But with us in South Africa, in most cases, people expect to be paid for what they do, to receive a stipend or at least something. And if you do start using volunteers on a longer term basis, you might get problems with labor laws. And that issue is not clearly, I think it is. The issue of insurance. If I'm volunteering my vehicle, in case of a disaster, and I'm doing that, my insurance policy will not cover me if there's an accident during the execution of that job. So there should be some protection for volunteers and volunteer their services in terms of life premiums, life insurance, as well as insurance on their assets. Because sometimes their volunteers that volunteer their vehicles or their assets and their personal time for disaster insurance. The last issue about climate change and global change, in the definition for adaptation, we're talking about adaptation to climate change. And I would suggest it should be global change, because the fact that people are moving between countries, the fact that we have population growth has nothing to do with climate change. So we need to adapt to global changes. In other words, I use the example of xenophobia in this country. Over the years, these things are happening, but our society didn't adapt to the new circumstances. So I would like to see the trends there that we include population growth, population movement, economic realities. And I think the concept of global change is really short.
Oh, but then the professor, the doctor, of course it's a difficult one though, because I'm not sure what a migration of people, particularly people who have unfortunately died in an insurance, whether that is a migration of people is a disaster. Because I thought we are dealing with the disaster management issues. Migration of people from whatever, they are migrating even here. Whether what is happening in South Africa recently is a disaster, and how do you name that it is a disaster. And then also the problem is about volunteers. I would have thought that volunteers must always be volunteers. And they're surprising that kind of, I think you are giving them stipends, but they're no longer volunteers. The problem that if we do that in the field, don't you think that can take problems of resources to do the work? Because once there are no resources, there are no volunteers at all. In any country, that country will suffer a lot. I thought that you have to encourage the spirit of volunteerism in fact. And then any kind of situation. Because without that, I don't think we can make it. But the point I was raising is that migration of people, because I guess they'll migrate forever. And the people from Mexico to USA, they'll migrate, whether they are friends, they are not friends, they'll migrate everywhere. In fact, people taking risks to the sea there, is very migration, maybe that is a issue. But it seems you are saying the migration of people generally not plenty, because it can also cause disaster. Okay. Okay.
It's just one here from the first together. The mining company, given the financial resource, can they be a part of the exercise? The agency with AGM and us, the MCI, mining company.
I
company, the mining company, the mining company. They in a given area there's a mining going on there, and there is fire raging there. Can we have them also as road players? In addition to SAS and SNDL, being the road players in the system.
Yes, now look, all the private companies is by implication included. It is addressed where they are talking about private business.
Yeah.
All government departments, etc. I think in the previous act, and others may think the military and the police also read the act not directly. The fact that they were not mentioned as a party for disaster response in the previous act might then as well sort of move their support to the nation, because they have a function of support to the nation, but they didn't focus on that. And they start channeling all the resources to peace operations externally and so forth, to such an extent that they sort of withdrew from the support of the government. So I think the fact that we're now talking about in the new world the security forces, the police and the SNDF, it is explicitly highlighted that they should play a role, and I think the new world reads the NDNC may request this support. So I don't have a problem with that. So the NDC may request now the support of the NDF and the JUPS for support during the war. Which I think is good, but to specifically refer to mines, like I said, because the act already talked about the involvement of private business, which indicates that mines are also important.
Okay, no, that's fine. Well, it's been another point that we want to raise it with you now. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief. I just want to from a municipal perspective. As a practitioner working at the municipal level, the point that the Chief Doctor made regarding centralization of placement is a critical issue for us. And we certainly have the actual management for us. And not in the framework of how to also mention the location under section 1.2.1. And on page 16 and page 17 and page 18, where it is strongly recommended that the placement be centralized at those locations that were mentioned in the previous office of the president. So I can understand from a legal perspective that we are expecting which restoration and constraint is achieving the doctor of induction from the department with our recommendation before our location. And as we've indicated here, the city manager office. Is that the effect that the communique comes from the city manager office? Better cooperation from all players and even the budget. And that was made on the occasion. Particularly at the
well, what would be the argument, though, that national, I think, Dr. are proposing that should be centralized in the president's channel and the premier at the provincial level? And I would have thought that we then would ask the mayor. These things, when you come to local level, you are much more administrative rather than political. Is that actually a good way of doing it?
Well, I think that local level should be in the office of the manager.
Okay, I think Dr. has put the view and the members are here. I think the notes have come the point. They deal with those by clause, I think those categories. I don't know that it should be relevant or not. But Dr., you do have many experiences of international disasters. Surely you would also make this recommendation. Yes. Let us move on. available. As I said, I'm looking at that from a practical point of view, and not from a governmental management point of view. My feeling is, and with respect to the NDC, I think I went for the sort of middle, something that keeps everybody happy. It is better than what we have now, because of itself. I personally think that the best way to go is go all the way and put it central. Then you can really go. And we'll tell that to the court. So for me, it was sort of a midway movement away from it. I might be wrong, but that's my personal view. And I didn't see any discussion with the NDC. I don't know what was my motivation for that. But what is your international experience?
Most countries where Dolphin management is working in different countries. Even in Africa, many and I have been in contact with about 7 African countries where we basically got their systems over the past 2 years, and with the exception of one also in Central East Africa, they're very young, but in almost 2 years I think a lot of people that are under the control. And you can put some pressure on the dust and do the job.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. I think we'll engage on some of the issues that you have raised and see what is practically possible in our situation. Then we should move to the next presentation by Doctor. Yes, for the following. I think we are there. And I think you're also going to the presenting to us. I think again, your presentation is here with us. Let us listen to you and an assistant to solve the law the best law.
I'm mindful that you're embarking on quite a complex project. This particular field is a very challenging one because it's multi-scale and it's highly different, but it's highly dynamic. And as a result, it requires a lot of thinking. So I'm going to keep my comments very brief. I have made a PowerPoint presentation available. I think you can show up today. Can you look it up or not?
We don't have a computer here. This is almost a puzzle for me too.
Okay, Sandy. I think everyone has one of these. So let me take you through it very differently. In relation to the amendment, there are the four things I'm going to talk about, and others are going to raise additional comments. I'm of the view that the law should align with global best practice and should use either for an explicit function on disaster risk reduction or on disaster risk management. Disaster management, as prevailing terminology, is dated. It's around a decade out of date. The second is that there are a number of definitions that the definitional section probably need to be reviewed, and I'll come back to that in a bit. And I'd like to follow on to my comments about global change and say, and echo people's concerns about speaking on climate change. If we're going to address climate change, which is important, we should specifically include climate variability. Because we are not managing current variability, let alone be prepared for future change. And we'll speak about that. Under the proposed amendment, particularly Section 24 and proposed Amendment 4, I would want to suggest that the government should be specifically require reporting on the spatial and temporal information on the hazard, not just on the areas and maybe the household affected. Because we will never manage risk at all without knowing what areas were actually exposed. We will never be able to tell whether things have improved. If we can't show what intensity and spatial extent our hazards are occurring in. So, on the third slide, I'd like to talk a little bit about realigning the act deliberately with the prevailing global emphasis on disaster risk reduction and management from 2015 to 2030. And I'm not sure whether this is already addressed, but last month, a global agreement called the Sendai Framework for Disaster Risk Reduction was reached in Japan. And that's our strategy for the next 15 years. The explicit focus of that accord, because it's not signed like if you're in the protocol or whatever, is a focus on preventing new and reducing existing disaster risk. The global thrust, and it has been an emerging thrust, is to try and place emphasis on reducing risk so we don't have to manage disasters all the time. Because these are very expensive. Not expensive monetarily, they're expensive in terms of the burden of human capital, human energy, which is modern up. And we see this at all scales. It's expensive for a matric student to recapture all of his or her notes that were been done in fire. And it's how are you going to do that? That's a personal disaster. The loss of ID books, that's an immediate barrier to recovery at health level. So I just I've given the link at the bottom of the slide for the Sendai framework, and I just like to underline that in that framework, disaster risk management is mentioned 26 times. Disaster management is mentioned 0. Disaster risk reduction is also mentioned substantially. The last time we sat in these chambers to debate the disaster management bill was in 2001. It has taken another 15 years to take the whole cycle. So if we're looking into the future, we should be contemporary. We should be aligning our practice and our legislation with what kind of the global direction is pursuing. And I've been maybe following on from the South African law in disaster management in 2002. There have been a number of new laws that have been promulgated. Colombia in Latin America published their national policy on disaster risk management and established a national system for disaster risk management in 2012. Namibia promulgated their disaster risk management act in 2012. Peru approved a law creating and discussed a national disaster risk management system in 2011, and the Philippines straddled a risk reduction and management act of 2010. So I would urge colleagues in this room to really think about what message we want to send into the future. Are we going to be signaling disaster management, or are we signaling disaster risk reduction and disaster risk management? Because prevailing global best practice relegated disaster management to the back room about 5 to 10 years ago. Okay? That's a discussion. I think that the focus of our global emphasis in the future is the management and reduction of disaster risk. It's not just the job of the disaster management center. It's everybody's work. We all must manage risk. I must manage my own traffic risk. So I drive on the right hand side, not the right hand side, the left hand side of the road. It's not just the traffic department's responsibility to manage traffic risk. All of us have a responsibility. So this is the first thing. In relation to that, and it follows on, depending on what trust we take in the law, we'll have to revisit the definition. And for instance, in the prevailing list of new definitions, there is no mention of hazard, exposure, disaster risk, or disaster risk management. International, there is no way you can even nationally and locally that you can characterize risk without characterizing hazard, exposure, and vulnerability. Yes, we do define vulnerability, but we don't define hazard or exposure. That needs to be addressed. And in the list of current definitions, there is one on mitigation, which calls for lessening the potential impact of physical hazards. Some would argue that physical hazards are too restrictive. Through actions that reduce hazard, exposure, or vulnerability. If we don't define hazard or exposure. So I would argue that some of the definitions need to be strengthened. And then if we're going to include definitions around ecosystems and climate change, we must definitely include variability. Because variability refers to the movement of our weather and climate from very dry to very wet conditions. And certainly all of our seasons, certainly at district and local scale, we need to be able to manage that. We can't manage it now and understand it now. How do we manage it 20 to 30 years down the line? So I think there needs to be a discussion around global change, climate change, climate variability, and just one thing, maybe a word to navigate around migration is mobility. People are mobile, they move. And mobility is an adaptive strategy. It has been for many. I would like to suggest we think about this. Now, in terms of climate variability, I just want to draw on some of the research from the Western Cape of the past 7 years, where the impact of, I believe, 12 severe weather events in 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014 generated around 4.5 billion rand in direct costs to the member states. Okay? Many in the same areas. And the animation that on the PowerPoint that shows which areas are affected. The majority of those losses have been sustained by agriculture, differently, in areas all the time, and also by our roads and infrastructure. So climate variability is a major issue that we're not managing well. I would like to specifically recommend that section 24 of paragraph on the course of reporting on 48 is changed to also include the spatial and temporal attributes of the associated hazard processes. At the moment, organs of state are required to report on the areas, communities, and also the people. There's no requirement at all to actually describe what was that resulted from them being professors and the magnitude or intensity of having exposure or its spatial and temporal attributes. And in the following slide, which is not in, in color, but it is on the covering, shows a whole bunch of dots scattered over the southern and eastern parts of South Africa. Now those blue, now if you look at the color image of this, you will see that this refers to recorded rainfall in excess of 50 millimeters for 24 hours for severe weather events, for four severe weather events. I think focused on these mainly in the Western Cape, but this is that the rainfall was hitting all the way out into the Eastern Cape. What happened? Was there support? Were there losses? We've documented and georeferenced every single loss that we've had information on for the Western Cape for over a decade around the severe weather. So we can overlay that information. But what is very curious is that the data are starting to show that the severe weather events that sweep through the Western Cape behave differently depending on whether they come through the winter or in the summer months. The implications are the following. So those kind of low weather systems that sweep through the Western Cape between November and January or February get additional energy, hot air and moisture from the summer rainfall area from the northern part of South Africa, from equatorial Africa. That means the rainfall comes down very fast. It's very intense. You go to flash flood status very quickly. And in one detailed study we did over the Lawrence detachment, which we'll come to in a moment, it showed that when we remodeled the storm, from the time the rainfall fell heavily at the top of the catchment, it was less than 1.5 hours before the flood wave reached the hospital that needed evacuating. That has direct consequences for our emergency preparedness towards people. Our emergency preparedness and response services was meant to be able to mobilize extreme quickly. In this case, they could. We would not be able to piece this together if we had not gone back and recorded the exposure of the rainfall. And now we can start to give some very directive guidance to the Provincial Disaster Management Center about how they can manage extremely severe weather events now and in the future. So that's why I propose that we should be included. And the next two pictures, just show what it entails when you move 129 people out of the flooded hospital. but out of all, there is another reason why we should be looking at exposure. And that is that understanding previous exposures improves our current and future risk management. For instance, if you look at this slide too, you'll see a flooded area at the bottom. This is a catchment over which the heavy rain fell. In fact, 200 millimeters in just on 3 hours. 200 millimeters of heavy rain is phenomenal in a mountain catchment. Especially one that has been sustained severe wildfire burns within the previous 5 years. And that's what the shading on the picture at the bottom is. It's the burned area, the area that was burned. And when the area is burned, especially at high temperatures, the runoff increases extremely. It really does. So now this information on the burn exposure sits at Cape Town. And the city of Cape Town does flood risk modeling for the loan to the catchment. Yet, the flood risk, was significantly driven by the Buddha, the previous Buddha. It might have increased the amount by 600 cents, by the way, but it wasn't what's yet. If we don't require people to report on the exposed and have it exposed, we don't miss learning opportunities. As Professor Woodard has just underlined, we have an opportunity to rethink innovatively into the future. We need legislation that is forward thinking, is that continues to lead and inspire our colleagues in Africa. And I just want to foreground an emerging area for you to think about a little bit, and that is now we can actually analyze social media interactions. And so this is an example of Twitter feed, a detailed analysis of tens of thousands of tweets around the evacuation of the Lawrence of the Survey Mini Clinic. And it allows us now to identify which tweets, having this city here, so which tweets, what is the zero tweet that helps people to respond, that moves people to volunteer or to be unhelpful. We can do this now. And in this particular instance, the tweet zero was given by the Premier. All she said was the hospital is being evacuated. But because she has such a huge following, it was picked up all over the place and prompted an inundation of volunteers who are unskilled, untrained, disorganized to engulf her hospital and get in the way of the responders. So if we're looking into the future, we need to understand these emerging dynamics. This is an opportunity for everybody over the next 2 weeks. So all I would like to do is sum up by saying we've got to align the law with the global direction. We've got to either move to disaster risk management or disaster risk reduction. Disaster risk management is around the action to achieve disaster risk reduction, which is an aspiration. We need to revisit our definition. We need to be very careful around climate change, global change, climate variability, and specifically, I think, under conditions of great change, we need to be requiring people to report on exposure, not just on damage and effects. Thank you.
At the end of the season, many the young men here with the honorable member, very worried about it. It seems was not thinking that there's anything after anyone. And I think it's very serious to say that. Yeah. We should invite an honorable member if you want to put some questions. It seems also very clear. We have captured what we are trying to encourage us to do. Read the verse to me.
I'm very relieved that I have my colleagues on either side of me here. Because these terms are defined differently in different countries. So I would like to back up one step and say, when we had the similar discussion 14 years ago, one of the things that was put in place was a morning orientation to the terminology around the field. There was a workshop for the community. So a number, so there was a focus introduction to the terminology and its implications, and a little bit of the history of the field, so that the deliberations could be informed by something that was more than just a one-stop conversation here. So I put that on the table as something that you might want to consider, which is to set aside perhaps, I don't know, it's a possibility. I know it's interesting because I report exactly the same thing being asked as a question a decade or more ago. The field is full of jargon and technical terms, and there may well be merit to set aside a couple of hours just to clarify. So, that new thing around disaster management. By the way, I'm not a disaster manager. My area of expertise is public health. But I've worked in a lot of disasters. And so I'm going to invite Professor Nodan and Professor Fanika to add to this here. My understanding, simply, is that disaster, you see, it depends on how broadly and how narrowly you define it. But disaster management typically responds to the disaster management cycle around being able to anticipate and respond and recover from small, medium, and large scale disasters. It tends to be focused historically on reactive thinking. So the center of the planning is around the disaster. You must be prepared for it, yeah? You must be able to anticipate it and mobilize your capacity to respond to it and recover from it. You should also, wherever possible, be able to mitigate it. Now, so we can go on. Is that okay? Alright, we got this. Disaster risk management does not put disaster management, does not put disaster in the center. It does. Disaster risk management is about managing risk developmentally. So wherever possible, they do not accumulate or escalate to a disaster. But it includes a component of capacity to respond, to be careful and respond when things become difficult. Yeah? So everybody should be managing their risk. Everybody. Doesn't matter whether you're in water here, in terms of flooding and drought and pollution, or whether it's a local municipality which should be making sure that the stormwater system is functioning and the drains are open when or before heavy rain is falling. So the management of disaster is a practical thing around anticipating and reducing risk before they accumulate, before they escalate to a disaster. And it is not primarily the role of disaster management. And so disaster management historically has grown out of a history of civil protection, civil defense, to managing and responding to times of duress. Disaster risk management incorporates some of that, but it applies to all ministry. It is not something you say, we've got fire, give it to fire brigade services, or we're near the rainy season, winter rain, therefore we just leave that to disaster management. No. It's everybody's responsibility to meet those risks done. Disaster risk action is an aspiration. It's not talking about sustainable development. We want to achieve reduction in disaster risk so that developmentally our quality of life is better. But the way we take that forward practically is because that's an aspiration. It doesn't necessarily have nuts and bolts things to do. the nuts and bolts thing to do are embrace within the document management. I'm going to put that in the class of the job, terribly right or terribly wrong.
You can say
Disaster management is response oriented primarily.
Yes.
In other words,
yes.
How are we going to respond to the disaster?
Yes.
Whereas disaster risk management or disaster risk reduction is looking forward and saying, what can we do to lessen the chances of a disaster occurring?
Yes. And the second involves everybody.
Where we have created structures, and these structures, we unfortunately fall, and I've come to that in my presentation, disaster management centers. Now the expectation is that these disaster management centers will be disaster risk management, and that's what we're wrong. Disaster risk management, like Dr. Holloway said, needs to happen in every single life function, every second, every organ of space, right down into our community. And that's, I think, the major difference, besides saying disaster management, our perspective about disaster management, which is response oriented, it is a deep concern. We don't use it anymore, as you know, we don't teach it anymore. What we have to do is shift away. Because disaster is not a major issue yet. The risk is the issue. Because if we don't use it, we will sit with disaster and say, we're going to that. And this is what we're trying to prevent. Thank you.
our planning. Because we normally offer the top of licensing region like our region before, but unfortunately after the recommendations are stable declining, we need to build it into our strategic plan and at least lead it into the life functions of government as well. But practically that's how we try to change what we need.
Okay, thank you, Lola, for the addition. Well, everyone really can participate in a debate during the discussion. There's no harm for any person who's here wants to make a point to make about. This is presentation, there is no decision making. Therefore, every person must be free to make a point and assist the committee. The more it is explained to me, the more it's very difficult to understand. Disaster management, risk management, and protection. I'm not sure if you talk about the fire in Cape Town, what you do about it, because it's a year there. And then I think they talked also soon about the Penn area, clearly, the loss of water. This thing is very complex. I thought it's the easiest. But now, the more you explain it, practitioners will make it difficult for me now. And there will be more time of engagement on it. Okay, if there's no other issue really, let us pass to that.
I
I'm also think this very complex.
So I find that the explanation a little bit disingenuous for two reasons. Firstly, yes, the Constitution talks about disaster management. There's nothing stopping us from talking about disaster management and risk reduction, because that should then be a more comprehensive and inclusive terminology. Secondly, the definition talks, it does not talk about risk identification, it does not talk about cross-cutting functionality. All of this has been built about so far this morning. It talks about preparedness, it talks about response, it talks about mitigation, but it doesn't talk about planning to reduce the risk. And that's what people are talking about here. And I think that's what we as a committee now need to say, you know what, we've got to be visionary, we've got to look at what the international best practices is. We've heard about the same background. Look, I must admit, the first time I heard about it was this morning, but I'm going to go and read on that now. But this is something new, and we're talking about legislation that is 14 years old. Let's go forward and say, how do we improve legislation? How do we make it better? We can say disaster management and risk reduction and incorporate both concepts into it. and then provide definition for disaster risk reduction into our definition. So I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I do think that the definition that we have in the Act as it currently stands is not broad enough.
Well, in terms of the definition, disaster risk reduction is there. I'm not sure that this you are able to, because the principal act 2001, we are amending, and therefore we are not repealing, you know, we are amending existing law, and then how do we do that is a very challenging one. I think we should look at it. But I thought three definitions in general, there are a lot of other areas here. Climate change, of course, I've not seen global change, they're not commented on global change. I think Professor Odami is talking about that. And then the whole issue, maybe also should comment on that. How do we see that also within here? So, if you wanted to answer?
On the issue of climate change, I would say, I think what we are talking about is also not on the record. Because we need to adapt to what? You tell the municipality, adaptive climate change, what? There's no model available in the world that can tell us how the climate will change in case. All the models are talking about global climate change. So we don't know what we are reacting to. That's why I'm really fighting that we need to talk about global change. Because that's all the more such a fear, all the more disasters, not because of the climate change. Because of climate change is already here, so I agree with you, continue with that in other words. And then also other fears, such as population growth, increased vulnerability, poverty, etc. And again, global change includes those other.
You are able to make something?
So I also just wanted to say, speaking Danny, want to mention that I would not be representing the opinion of a lot of disaster management practitioners in the field if I did not say that there is a disagreement on disaster management, disaster risk management, and that people in this room and in other rooms have been running circles, theoretical circles around each other for many years. And I think from the practitioner's point of view, the one thing that is important is that this act should create an environment, an enabling environment, where everyone can contribute to disaster risk reduction. Whether you call the function disaster risk management or disaster management, and in fact the act does not change the requirement that everyone is there, the researchers, the scientists, but also practitioners need room to maneuver inside. And perhaps we can get some comfort out of the fact that the word management is coupled to disaster. And the word management is really, if you think about it, it's all encompassing activity. If you manage correctly, you look at everything around the subject. You don't only look at it after it happened, you also look at it before. So I just want to express the opinion that perhaps we should get some comfort out of the word management.
Yes.
They are not committing any crime anyway. These are lawmakers. Their duty to hear exactly how things will happen. Because the lawmakers, you know, that their primary role is to make laws. And they can't make laws that will be turned back within 2 months because they didn't allow their mind. That's why, generally speaking, I've invited all of you who are working in this field to assist us, even when you compromise. Dr. Yodan will compromise this bit knowing that they are taking a necessary ability to compromise on this issue. I think that's fine, really. Don't have a problem with that. You must raise it for the assistant. I think you are recording all of them. Okay, maybe we should proceed to Professor Fanik. What do you want us to do, Professor?
Thank you very much. Mr. Kamini, I'm trying to put in the request of Jerry Kerry to the government of the government. And it just feels like a blink of an eye, and 30 years have passed. And I must say, the community members are either getting very younger or I'm getting older. Thank you very much.
So, Professor, the members you met in 2001 are not the current members. That's why you are seeing as Yana. Those who are never retired completely.
Thank you very much for being here. I really do appreciate it. And I do question about the skills. My field of study is associated with the role of the government. Therefore, I do this something that I've been really working for the past 3 years of my life. And thank you very much for this opportunity. We find ourselves in an interesting place currently, as we did in 2002 and as we did in 2005, in the sense that a lot of things were done with the disaster reduction working internationally. In 2002, we took the lead internationally with the promulgation. You can read up on that. I shared some of the documents with Mr. Makori, and I hope you all got your hands on that. Where are we coming from as a country? And how we've been leading the field in the disaster risk reduction. And on the one hand, we actually trying to amend a grand script that currently says 85%. We're trying to amend it to something more than that, which I think is modest, which shows again that South Africa is taking the lead, and this is very important to us. And I think we should carry on with it. I would like to be ever in a position where people look back and say, look where South Africa started with the disaster reduction, and look at it on now, and just shake their head. That would be a very, very sad time in our history, in our lawmaking. The CELAR framework has already been mentioned, and with the new CELAR framework that only came out a few days ago, it gives us an opportunity to incorporate some of the main elements that come out of the CELAR framework. Taking cognizance of the fact that we are in a legislative process, it is not as easy just to change absolutely everything we want. We must be realistic about what we need to change. So my presentation has got that in the back of my mind. I was very fortunate to be involved in all of these processes, and also in the process of reviewing the comments of the amendment bill. And I must say, there's a few things that I would like to highlight. and maybe ask questions about that I do think have not been sufficiently incorporated into the current amendment. But then I would also like to highlight some of the things that I think are very, very good, things that you have made significant progress on. First of all, there's some general comments about the loss reduction in South Africa. From the start, from the word go, from 1994 onwards, beginning of in 1996, on national level, we've shown significant political commitment to what we call then disaster management and what people in various environments like Maris refer to call disaster risk management or disaster risk reduction. But what we've seen is that this political commitment did not necessarily permeate down to provinces and down into our local governments. Our research is very clear, and I'll cite some examples of that in a while. And this could mainly be into simple lack of capacity, lack of skills, lack of knowledge, and then also a commitment from the politician and from the practitioner to take disaster risk reduction seriously. I just want to flag that, put it in the back of your mind, and I'm coming back to the placement of the function in a second. What I would like to highlight, first of all, is on the national level. We've already made the discussion about where the national disaster management centers should be. I would like to reiterate what Dr. Yodan has said, I thought in many African countries as well. And the norm out there, I would say 85 to 90% of the countries do decide to place their disaster management function within their high political authority for the reasons that we said previously. You cross-cutting, you need to have some kind of response within your government sector, people need to listen. If they're not listening, some kind of measurement needs to be in place. Unfortunately, or fortunately for the Africa, on the one hand, we have this major challenge that we call Madagascar, which influences quite a lot of our disaster risk profile. If you look at the financial conditions, it causes South Africa to have a very less severe risk profile. Therefore, many people would ask you the question about, do we have disasters in South Africa? Yes, you do. We have disasters. We have extensive risk. We have these everyday risks that people live with on a day-to-day basis that we can't capture in the old terminology that we call disaster management. Because it's not a one-off big bang event that the media latches on to that we can manage. There's other things that are more developmental, poverty-related, vulnerability-related that we need to take cognizance of. Therefore, the placement of the team is very important. I know the discussions have been going on, and it seems like on the side that the National Disaster Management Center could possibly become a component of government, and this I would 100% support. The main idea is the enforcement, the implementation of the disaster management. I'm going to call it the disaster risk management, actually, if it after a few better. And if that can be done sufficiently from a government component, then that is good price. The reason why I'm situated in that political authority are for the reasons also wanted as government component, or the agency, whatever the case may be. However, we must also be very cautious in that decision, in the sense that the government component could remove responsibility or perceived responsibility from our provincial sphere and from our local sphere as well. Therefore, my word of caution when you deliberate about this and make a decision is that our, whatever the environment will be for this function of disaster risk management, that is built up from a community level upwards and not from the top down. The biggest mistake you can make is to have a top-down approach for disaster risk management. We will not, and I will emphasize that, we will not be able to reduce our disaster risk if we do not take cognizance from where the risks occur. And we love to talk about the 3 spheres of government, which is marvelous. I love our country and how it's set up. But our reality is there's only one local. We're sitting at it. We go out of this room, there's only one local. We don't function provincial, we don't function on a national level. The same hazard that will occur that we will look at from a national provincial perspective is actually a thing that happens on a local level. And this is what we need to have in the back of our minds. How do we change the legislation and make it better so that we can address the local first? Because your house is not all the provincial level. Somewhere there are first. And that is very important for us to realize. That being said, I do believe that the devolution of power remains difficult. However, we are going to decide on what the national sense would look like. It's very important that we tell people right down, especially at our local level. One of the other new factors, I think, in the disaster management act as it currently stands is that there was varied interpretation of the act. A lot of municipalities, in the first couple of years, put out and said unfunded mandate. And we went through our process to explain to them why it's not an unfunded mandate. And there's enough structure and process in terms of our public financial management act and others in place for people to access money. It is there. It's not unfunded mandate. If people try unfunded mandate, they're logic at work, they're actually not doing what the Constitution requires them. So the very existing interpretation is something that needs amendment. And that brings me now to some of the nuts and bolts of it. First of all, the naming of the act. In 2002, we were busy with the white paper, the green paper on disaster management, the white paper on disaster management, the draft bill or program on disaster management. And in that process of transition from the thought bill into the act, a lot of discussion came up in terms of why not take the lead for the disaster risk management. And at that point, the majority of the people felt that let's stick with disaster management. So bringing in this new concept for disaster risk management is going to be confusing. And at that stage, I agree. And I think we made the right decision back then. We find ourselves now in a different term. 13 years apart. We cannot go on linking to the past, linking to a term which everyone else outside of South Africa and outside of the practitioner sphere understands how to do different than we do. We need to get on board with what's happening internationally. We need to use the same terminology. The reason also being is we teach the new terminology. In the sense, there's a new generation of people coming into the field that understand the disaster risk management, and they don't understand these other terms. And that will make an argument also for why we need to focus on risk issues. Because what is happening now, the type of people we train is not a practitioner that we say are training to become a disaster manager. That happens. Those are people that want to be in the public sector, that love study management, etc., and political science, all those other subjects. But we also train hydrologists, the meteorologists, the social worker. And these are people that are going to do disaster risk management in their specific field of practice. They won't be called a disaster manager. But they will actually, and they do understand what is risk and how risk is created within our social system, how we need to solve those issues. So I would just like to reiterate the fact that I'm 100% fully on board for a change in terminology and get it once and for all on international standards. That is a major problem for me. The second aspect that I would like to highlight, and I've written more about it, is the focus on local municipal level. And yes, specifically I'm talking about local municipalities. For various reasons, the function and the activity were given to our district municipalities and our metro municipalities for various reasons which at that point in time we agreed with. What has happened in the past 13 years is a total lack of implementation. Our research showed that up to 90% of municipalities have a currently tested, this is now 13 years after the formulation, does not have an integrated disaster risk management plan as part of their IDP. 15 years. What has happened? Something says to me, there's been a problem in implementation. And the fact is that more emphasis needs to be placed on what the local municipality must do rather than that of the district municipality. Given the fact that there's different capacities and resources and all the other things that we know are constrained at this local level. Our research showed an extensive research project we did for the South African Local Government Association in 2011 that there is not good collaboration between local. Over 50% of the people that responded, and we covered a third of the municipality, said that they do not have good cooperation with the district municipality, not from a local district. Which is awesome. Which means the district are being said that the local doesn't necessarily agree that the district covers its own geographical area. How can this be? But this is what is happening in practice. The other problem was that local municipalities didn't feel empowered to implement their own structure because there was this link with circuit. And then also, a lot of the wording in the current bill, I think this is what the City of Cape Town also put in their presentation to the initial committee, was that a lot of the may word must be changed to must. In other words, we say we may and we may. Now, if you are people that have children, if you say to your child, you may, you know it's going to happen. They're probably going to do the opposite of what you want. And this is affecting government as well, unfortunately. If we give people leeway, that will interpret it to mean I don't need to do it. This is not absolute critical. But some of those things are critical. They are so interdependent. If you do not have an interdepartmental committee, how can you coordinate as a disaster management center across line functions? It becomes absolutely impossible. And these are the constraints that we have. So I would like to urge once again to go have a look at these May and May. And these are specifically in section of this should be my favorite, 37, 43, 51, 54, 58. All those May can just dissolve in mud. Because we really have worked in practice. If you go to the municipalities, I can give you a name, you will see that they are the ones that dread the mayor of the mud. So that's why it is functioning in those municipalities. That's the full term of local municipality. I already mentioned the fact that one of the other things that come out of our research is a lot of concern about how we obtain funding for disaster reduction, which I think is a false argument to make. Because our public financial management system makes provision more than enough for people to budget for it. If they include it, as they should, as a component, integrated component in their IDP, everything that they want will be funded. I'm not talking about a drop in response. I'm specifically focusing on to implement and to ensure disaster risk reduction. It is there. Look once again at the good municipalities that are now scattered throughout South Africa. Those are the ones that understand how the financial system works and they budget it. Millions of rand worth of infrastructure has been built, people have been trained, risk profiling has been done because people understand how the financial system works. So in my mind, now that I've done this, all my research, I can't do the conclusion that the funding, the availability of the funding is not the issue. The problem is once again people don't understand. There's a lack of capacity and knowledge when it comes to the funding. The third element I would like to emphasize or raise in the new amendment law is the role and responsibilities placed on the various organs of state. This talks to the multidisciplinary, multi-sectoral, multi-layered disaster risk management in the definition. I think it's absolutely commendable that we see these things coming out. What I do hope we see in future is that responsibility of conducting or doing disaster risk management is included in the job description and profiling of our community managers. This is happening in some of the departments. The Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is one example. In fact, they are doing it. They're doing it in the Department of Health. So all over get these pockets of excellence where people have realized, oh, this is what disaster risk management means. I need to be engaged in this. And therefore, we include it as a performance indicator. I can measure you against it. And this is in line with what is written in our national and the document and policy framework. The fourth element of the amendment bill is something that was touched on, the honourable member mentioned it specifically, and that is something that I think we omitted, and that is more emphasis on the role, responsibility, and also the obligations of the private sector. We need a lot. If a disaster occurs, private companies tend to lose the money, but they aren't on board. Currently, the only thing we see in terms of involvement of the private sector is Greenwood mentioned that they must become part of our advisory board. Now, good members, I can assure that the attendance of the private sector on all levels of government, including national level, of our advisory forum has been poor at best and on average non-existent. They come, they might be for one meeting, you never see them again. And these are people that we need. This is a crucial component. So I would urge more thinking into how can we engage the private sector and the bigger companies to come on board. There's a lot of talking in South Africa already. The private sector realize they stand to lose quite a lot. Therefore, we need to engage them. We need to engage them on when it makes absolutely the most sense of them. So you can't see a major company to come and attend my advisory forum. It's not going to happen. So we need to find other ways to engage them. Firstly, the law places the emphasis on climate change and not just adaptation. I think we already had that as a discussion. What we'd just like to emphasize is that we need to bring the climate change, adaptation, variability, development, disaster reduction agenda closer to each other. If there's one thing you can do, is find a way to get the Department of Environmental Affairs to talk on a daily basis for our National Disaster Management Centre. That would be the best thing that can happen. Currently, we are setting that function. It's not uncommon. It's happening all over the Southern Africa region where there's a policy for climate change adaptation or climate change and policy for disaster reduction, and these two does not speak to each other. I think in our case, we kind of found the middle road so far, but it's so crucial that we look at it going forward. Then the last three comments I would like to have, or general comments, is that in the 10-life framework, you read quite a lot of how gender and disability disparities have been included into the policy. And I think coming from where we are as a country, it actually says that we don't see a specific reference to gender, age, disability, cultural perspective in our legislation. We just use the general term vulnerable community, and we lose the essence. We need to be using words that empower women, that look at youth leadership, etc. Then lastly, I would like to just mention a few things or glance over them because it's been mentioned by other speakers. First of all, the definitions within the amendment bill, I fully agree with that of disaster risk reduction. I've seen this in Waterdown. There's a much, much better definition out there that's excessive internationally, that we can have a look at and incorporate that. Then also, the mention of environmental factors, for instance, there's difference in the ecosystem. I think it would be much better if we change that to mention socio-ecological link systems. That would underscore a lot of what also has been discussed previously. In the sense that acknowledges the interaction of humans with the environment, and also the environment has drivers for the disaster. Then all in terms of definition, the definition of resilience is not given, although it is included in as a term, and it is being included. And then lastly, specifically mention is made of early warning systems, and I think in this case, aligning to international best practices is that we might need to be talking about multi-hazard early warning systems. And the thing that is creates a protection that is multiple, or that we can manage, monitor, and assess multiple hazards in a single system. And I just want to do something computer system. And that there needs to be, in that fact, a stronger linkage made to science and research, but there's a lot happening in our country. There's some awesome things happening out there, and I think there needs to be linkages need to be made to places like the sea by hard work, the insurance industry doing, what the private sector is doing, and also what our NGOs and our communities are doing at a local level. And I think I'm going out of my time, but that's not very great, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor. Your colleagues, let us engage if you want to engage. And,
I have one question. About the major organs of state, we actually have changed the terminology a little bit, and it's not 100% clear in my mind. Is the SANDF, for example, an organ of state? Is the SANDF an organ of state? These are things that I need to clarify. But my question to Professor Panika is, do you feel that the roles are adequately, the roles and responsibilities of those organs of state are adequately defined? Particularly, for example, who is responsible for bringing them in? Who is responsible for terminating that? Where does the funding for that come from? It said, do you feel that this amendment, which now clarifies that they can be brought in, is sufficient in defining those roles and responsibilities?
I think that what I said in the beginning, the legislative process and what we need in law is also important. We can't include everything. I think to name it, specifically set out the SNDX and the SAPS and the point that we made, we must be very careful because other problems change and the names change and they shift and now it might be a very situation. But, that being said, I think what has already gone part of national level improvement. Our bargaining form at national level, I think, is fairly functional. A lot of people understand what they need to do, their role and responsibilities located there. I don't think in the legislation per se, it would mean anything to say this department needs to do that. That needs to be sorted out at our advisory forum level, and I think they have done it. What is very good in legislation is that our reporters then say, well, you've got a responsibility. It's not only a they kind of may kind of thing, it's something you have to do. Therefore, if you have to do it, the national thing comes to you and say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, what are you doing in terms of disaster risk in your line of function?
Professor, want to, and as I understand you, based on issues of vulnerability, you speak of an entity for age, gender, and age. I'm just trying to conceptualize what you do in RFP, how to invest it into the people who are going to decide.
Thank you very much for that. What we see in the specifically vulnerability and data, aggregated data, is that we lose the essence of the most adverse people in South Africa. In other words, if you go to any municipality, I'm going to make a general statement here, you most probably won't find data just on adolescent girls or on boys between the age of 21 and 18 or 21. There's aggregated data because we see the vulnerable community as a big block, and that is such a block. Within the big block, there's quite a lot happening. and we need to aggregate into age, into culture, into very specifically gender issues. That would make us to understand, like Dr. Holloway said earlier, what is actually happening in those exposed communities. And we have to ask this, we need to bring this out in our legislation, it's the right thing to do. People need to be thinking in other boxes and just like showing the poor vulnerable community. We need to be very specific and we need to understand in those class of five that make up our vulnerable community, what does it exactly mean? Because I can take you to communities that on face value they will be poor, but they're not vulnerable. Or they might be vulnerable, but they're very resilient. And those are the things we need to understand in the bigger picture. That is from the local to national.
Okay, John.
I think a very positive thing that I like about the new amendment is the importance of risk assessment. To identify those exactly what you're just talking, those vulnerable pockets, those vulnerable, not only communities, but what is really exposed within them. And that will come out in your risk assessment and then inform your disaster management plan. And I think in the amendment, that is what means those risks.
Yes, sir. You want that the message to one of okay.
Sorry, Chair. Just going back to the roles and responsibilities, not so much of the organization, the but more how the safety identified their roles and responsibilities and concerns. Do you have any suggestions as to how those could be better defined or clarified or whatever?
There's quite a lot of regulations on this. There's a process that already needs to be placed. You can't just build on the meaning of environmental impact assessment. A lot of data gathered from the environmental impact assessment can feed back straight into the disaster risk assessment as well. There's some very valuable information. The process needs to be put in place where private companies need to be accountable for what they do in terms of disaster risk. In other words, if I take my local municipality as an example, we've allowed student housing just to take over, we are building these high rises absolutely everywhere without consideration of the infrastructure and the possible health hazards. Now we've got these problems coming up. But it's driven by the private sector because it's here in the market. There must be mechanisms in place where a disaster risk management team can say, well, this development should not be happening. If you read our national policy, it is there, but it's not being enforced. On the other hand, the private sector can bring a lot to the table in terms of fuels, in terms of money that they could probably spend on the loss reduction. Example, the insurance industry is right. They've been talking to me quite a lot. The seismic events that we have now caused them to set up and say, well, you know, there's issues. The hailstorm ran in Kaohsiung 2 years ago, cost them R1 billion. They realize that we need to invest. So we must find what is the right place for the specific private sector partners to be involved in disaster. On the one hand, it's not just an obligation, a regulation of them, but it's also obligations from them to say, well, we need to be involved in development. And then, through maybe some of our corporate responsibility, we can find a linkage to the private sector and grow them in. But I think on the one hand, the legislation won't be able to do this, because there's just too many variables. But just to say that we must create this awareness with our disaster unit to engage the private sector, and at a national level, also try and engage them. Like I said, if the CEO from a big company will listen to the president, he's not going to come to the body forum of the city of Krakow. Is that okay?
Yes, sir. Okay, well, thank you very much. We can proceed. I thought that was Amelia. She's gone.
Whispered to my ear that he had some very conference that we had to do.
Oh.
I think when he made up, so I'm not sure.
Okay. They're not sitting there to their funds, one to their hands. There's no sitting at all. Yeah. Oh. His Excellency. When you come, we are leaving.
Oh.
Well, I think we are just writing it unnecessary. We should have just one presentation today. Because there's no teaching at 2. We always end our meeting earlier because of teaching at 2. When there's no teaching, I think we should have done so. And no other one who's here to make some presentation now. And it seems also we have posed many questions. Please to understand the issues as a race. That's very complex, I guess, that are evolving. Very complex. And I think we have more time tomorrow also to have some discussion. I thought, you know, we should have delayed your hand to make a presentation now. Because it is always ready, ready, I think. Doctors are always ready. Doctors and professors are always ready to make presentation. It doesn't take a long to learn for it, because I deal with it daily. If of course is around you, I want her to propose that. Let her take tea for 10 minutes. And the difference is today, otherwise I can come back here and we should present it today, I won't make sense first. Far better to do so if it's ready to do so. And I think the Global Network for Civic Society Organization is tomorrow. Traditional leaders tomorrow. I'm not exactly how are they going to deal with this matter. And then cooperative governance we are prepared tomorrow. Fast guys tomorrow. Yes, did you want to say something else? You do it 10 minutes time, then you prepare yourself. And you must take tea. We can't just call the honorable member, come there very hot. You must allow him to take tea before we continue. And then it's a black tie. Because it's from the...
See, I'm not bringing the race of the tie.
Let us take tea, Oli. You'll see here. Take it easy. Stop. Thank you for that. I was going to be so long presentation. That we should improve ourselves also. Okay, colleagues, let us proceed. And the speech of Cape Town wants to make some presentations. And I think we should give them the opportunity. I'm not sure that your hand is still around or it's gone. If it is gone, of course, it's going to be us tomorrow. we wanted to make it easy for you because it's here. Not to come back tomorrow, but to soon make your funds to this one. Unless there is another comment that colleagues want to make, we should then allow the seat of Capon to make his presentation. We feel free then to take us through and assist us wherever you can to draft the bill or the amendment that is going to assist you to implement disaster management issues and the problem. Thank you. As meaning the department.
Thank you.
portions included in the Act. We think that it actually has to be taken further, that we think after the institution of insurance, the next touch would be then and then draft integrated, which is not integrated, that is because it was not a management plan to integrate the findings of the risk assessment. Because something we found that the assessment is being done, it's not used into the risk assessment or the data with management plan of the department. So we should definitely reject the link to that specific plan with regard to risk assessment process. And we also propose a wording on that in our document. also important in the decision made that disaster management or disaster risk management plan of municipal administrative units or entity 54 then we would like to propose that from a legal point of view, we only submit a municipal disaster risk management plan. That's a comprehensive plan, taking everything. On a municipal level alone, disaster risk management got a lot of funding. And as I mentioned, we've got 2,350 plans now already. We are a departmental 9,000 plans. So we would propose that it's only municipal disaster management plans that we submitted, and maybe the same could happen on a provincial level as well.
Okay, Costa, thank you very much for your presentation. It's very helpful. I think we have already agreed that we are going to meet. I hope we won't meet next year because by that will be true. In the next 2 days, you have finished the bill. And then if you meet after that, we will assist you because we have closed the door. And it's not going to take us another 4 months. They are meeting with them to be quicker though because the bill is with us now. It is a portfolio committee responsibility to amend it. The longer you delay yourself, you'll be out of the process because we'll be moving with this now. Organize yourself over there. What we are advising you that don't come with your amendment when we are through the bill. Because we want to assist you. And we have to wait for another 13 years. And for that 13 years, I think there will be lots of quake. I think the ocean sea will be a lot of tsunami. Many disasters are on their way. And don't be late for us. Because we want to capture the areas that we want us to capture also in the bill. It's a national bill that should cover every corner of the country. We bear in mind that the capacity is not the same in the country. You are already established it, I guess the other banks, so they are not established. They organize themselves, I think it will be easy for all of us. I think the sooner you do it, the better for all of us. All the colleagues, let us allow them, the colleagues that you have invited, to make their final comment, and so they are done, I think. They've been listening, you may want to conclude, and talk for Fanika also. But the western part of the open, there's no disaster. I thought there are many disasters everywhere, houses like cracking, and I hope that is not a bigger disaster. Doctor, what do you want us to do?
Thank you, Chief. You know, this animal that we call the disaster manager, journal where you put your air contribution properly according to the whole cycle. I don't think anybody in this country can really manage that whole process. Because we're talking about risk reduction, which should be the focus, we all agree on that. Development planning, they need to talk and understand how the engineers think, how the social scientists think, how the environmentalists think, how the economists think. And bring that together and advise them on development planning, because otherwise it cannot be GRR. On the other hand, we expect from the same organization to do the benevolent stuff, to respond, to put out the fires, to save people, to host people in camps. So this is really a mammoth talk and a task, and maybe, as Gerald said, to ruffle the feathers of things. I'll be trying to learn too much in one day, in one body. Maybe that's something we can discuss in the next 13 years, or two before I'll be inside by that. But my question is, the reason why we're not succeeding with implementation of the Act so far, not successfully succeeding with implementation, even if that we expect too much from the function. Because as it was mentioned today, that we already have a 85% goal. The current Act is quite good. I think the small changes that we are proposing is discussing a really small impact, not going to impact dramatically onto the functioning of the ground. And we need to ask that question. Can we really accommodate the RR and the response side in two as possible? And we need to be honest about that. That's the one thing. I think I agree with all the proposals here this morning in terms of without management, without the risk management, etc., etc. It's a long discussion. It's about the spectrums. I fully agree that the focus should be on risk reduction. And if we need to change the name in order to change the mindset of people, then let's say it. I was one of the guys who said, but my understanding of management is it includes everything. And I have long discussions with about this. But if we need to change the name in order to achieve our goal of risk reduction, then it is, let's not do it. That's a good thing to do. The other thing that's really important for me is that we should not write legislation or rules and regulations to make it difficult to perform our function. We need to streamline our processes. We need to start trusting each other. Because the reason I think in government why we are so in bureaucratic processes is that we don't trust the government. National need to trust the provinces if they say, we have a serious doubt, we need money, we want to pay the formula. To streamline the process, and we must find a way to do that. I think if we can achieve that, I will be really happy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Professor, what do you want us to do?
Yeah, I think you've got a unique opportunity to put South Africa ahead of the curve. And I think, in my mind, that's something very important. To look at all the comments that have been received and ask the question, how do we ensure that South Africa remains the leading country, not only in Africa, but globally when it comes to our policies and legislation? I think there's a lot of comments been made. You now need to decide which ones you think are most important. The last thing that I would just like to emphasize is that the new amendment or the new Disaster Risk Management Act must ensure that disaster risk reduction can happen from the local level. There's too much research out there, there's too much fact that we can't argue with to show that that is where we reduce our disaster risk. That is the benefit of all of this. Do not lose focus just to look at the National Disaster Management International Model. Yes, that is crucially very important. But please consider how this thing will ensure that we build this from the local level upwards. Thank you. I mean, maybe just add, I mean, I'm sorry, Ugandan government to draft the legislation, but please shame
Oh, you have to think them with MP. You must take this one that is here. And take this one which has what is Zambia. Okay, but I think we should do that. I think we should do that. We must accept our...
Well, I have to
process
a pleasure.
No, we've been mandated by the
committee.
Best practice. No, but we won't fight people for best practice. Okay, no, that would be fine. Of course, we'll learn from the Ugandan experience also. That would assist us a lot. Okay. It seems we are fine. Colleagues, unless you've got other things to say. Okay. But his manager is recruited by you. You are the head of this one manager to manager to manager to manager to manager. He's recruited by you, not by us. You think we are innocent, and instead we are victim of this manager to manager to manager to manager. Then what you don't get done. Okay.
Under certain rules, it's not supposed to stay the way department of the in an organizational structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I understand that concept. But the framework has specifically referred to the students. But the words of the framework is strongly advised that it's a place. There should be, it will be
blessed. Okay, Cody, thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you, Professor, for attending the meeting and good luck with the Ugandan one. I think one mind to come again and brief us about the Ugandan one. And thank you very much, Dr. Kudlow. I think we should allow them, our colleagues, to leave and the department will remain in Mela for another 10 minutes. And then can then disappear. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you for your I hope it's not cold today. Thank you very much for coming. And to the attempt of Dr. Holloway, thank you here on our behalf. I know that she's attending United Nations on these issues in law. We'll invite her again and she's back to assist us on this.
We have done that.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. I got the ticket. Okay, colleagues, thank you very much. And the issues, of course, meeting of parliament are open. All meetings of parliament are open unless they apply to the speaker and the speaker faces you. After giving real reason why you want to close that meeting. And we just wanted them there not to be delayed here, not because they can't teach when we discuss issues here. They are free to do so. Well, that presentation has been made, and I think this morning, and I hope that the department can also just take us to what is new. And what is new, thinking that the input for today is going to delay the passing of the bill. Or it is nothing new, but it's just to realize the waiting and this definition. We think that it should do so. And I'm just told that every time the meeting is taken, they send information to you. It seems we don't look at your information. Okay.
I've complained about this in the past, but our meetings for this portfolio committee do not appear on the schedule. Or if they do appear, then they don't appear correctly. The times are incorrect, the venue is incorrect. And I really want to urge that we get back to having our meetings of process included on the schedule of committee meetings well in advance. I mean, what are we going to meet every Tuesday? Where are we going to meet? What is the topic of discussion? It's not a difficult thing, and it's really something that we need to.
So, is this not appearing?
It's been for a number of weeks, for about 4 weeks, our meetings in this year. I haven't checked the latest one, but for about 4 weeks, our meetings in this year.
Yeah, sir. I think let me put it here. Very comprehensive. You know, I think we have an administrative problem. Not only in relation to meetings, even when we go to our oversight responsibilities. And I think, in general, sir, I raise it with the wish that we should have a comprehensive discussion. Sometimes really it's not acceptable that I should ask my colleague when I'm going to a meeting as a member of parliament. Really, you understand? If you miss a meeting, you have to hang on what is going to happen. Now, I sent in the sanctuary yesterday night. I came back from Portland of the Specific for this meeting. I was in a meeting with my constituents in Portland. I flew in yesterday night. I arrived at 7. 8 o'clock, I sent. 8 o'clock, I sent yesterday night. So we still have a meeting tomorrow. Where is the meeting? The sanctuary replied, I'm going to send SMS. I've been waiting until the morning. Then 22 to 9, before I got to my accident, sent. Where is the meeting? It's only then that I'll throw 205. You see, chances. That was not the proof. That the business structure is so big. That initially, I complained about recommendations. Usually, when I fly in on Monday, I would have to come to Parliament to look at recommendations. Arrive there, there are no documents. In previous committees, you arrive there. Because the documents are already in the pigeon and to go and see that. But I don't think we must spend more time here on this, but there must be a little of the people who have to be able to respond to Parliament, where the members of Parliament. And not only that, even receiving presentations or reports, not only for this meeting, a day before. It's not only our problem. I was listening before I came here, some people who trade in cash, they were complaining about that, that we receive this thing, this thing on Monday.
Okay, no, that's all. The administration is here, they must fix that. Just ensure that we administer ourselves at the highest level. We should have members of parliament who complain about minor issues. Where is the problem? We must do it correctly. And I think Miriam said that you don't appear on the schedule.
Chair, for a while, I think it's better now, but also only for the current meeting and not, you know, that schedule of committee meeting runs 3-4 weeks in advance. And only the current meeting is here. I have to check, I haven't looked at the latest ones. I mean, I looked there for about 4 weeks at the beginning of the parliament. There was nothing.
Okay, no. We take the point. The management will sit down and look at it. But
no, Chair. We note your comments. But some of the comments are real unfounded. Particularly the one of the statement. Like if you read your white paper, you will see all the problems. The new thing was happening in the past, and it was more, it was corrected. And we've got a, last week, we also, last of last week, there was a program that was given into the meeting. And that program, if you look at it, it takes us up to January 2016. Even though some of the issues were not confirmed, but it takes us up to January 2016. The main court is just looking into the business. But I'm saying, Chair, there might be other loopholes there, but in terms of shaping the issue,
okay, no.
What if that program has not been adopted by the committee? Submit, but it hasn't been approved. And secondly, that program doesn't give time or value. So it goes all the way to 2015, I agree.
Tomorrow.
It hasn't been approved and hasn't been.
That's a working program that we are using.
No, right, madam. We adopt it tomorrow. But I'm just saying that administration must be on top of the situation. Content advisor must be top of the situation, respect at top, the secretary, the deputy. They must have the top of the situation. We are running a very bigger committee than ever. Therefore, we must top of the situation. Things are going to take things that have been here long. Therefore, things are normal when they're not normal. Not in Twitter. We should have members just complaining about that. I think it's the easiest thing to do. We must do those things. Members must be told about the meeting. They must be told about the agenda. At least they come here well prepared. I don't think we should really have a discussion like this. Just put them online. Let us not come and discuss in the broader committee about notices of meeting, the schedule of meeting. All the things must be there. There are procedural matters really. They shouldn't marry us at all. In fact, I'll never be worried about this thing. Because those who run this thing, they must run correctly. And you can't have 20, 21 years down the line, you still can't run simple things correctly. You must run correctly. And now everything is sorted out. You'll be the happiest man.
Thank you.
I was worried about you because we're not in two meetings.
Yeah.
Just asking you, why are you attending your
party? I apologize.
Okay, then let us move. We will then allow the department to take us through in the area that they think they must be considered or you look at and then we address. And then
shouldn't we hear the other stakeholders tomorrow before we give the department an opportunity to respond, or they don't get another chance to respond?
No, they will.
Okay.
Right. That's today we are wrapping up.
Okay.
Just to get good ideas to wrap up the clear summary.
Okay.
When we come tomorrow, we link it up with those who are going to make some presentation on it. Okay. Let's take that one. Take us through then, what you want us to do. You are practitioners of convivers.
Thank you. I think this thing, we take up the
assumption, and here and there, there are also matters of implementation that we need to address. But I think what we want to start off with is to say we cannot fix all the impacts of problems within states, unfortunately not. So we really depend on that intergovernmental cooperation and also respect the registry of the government in terms of their effective mandate. So if I didn't give you some general approaches that you understand where we come from in terms of how we help with these problems. Most of the problems are not new, it's been discussed, you know, at the various consultation workshops that we had and some of the sessions that we had with the leaders and also with the this year. But anyway, so the, in terms of the definition, definition is always a really contentious matter, and there's a lot of emphasis, you know, depending from where you come from. So what we try to do when we dealt with the definition is to follow kind of an approach that is a principle. So first we look at the United Nations definition, which is the UNICR terminology, that was published in 2009. So we try to align those definitions that have been defined there to our legislation. The second thing that in, there was also after 2009 there was some new developments in terms of climate change work that has been done. There was a specific report done internationally on extreme events, the Global Assessment Report, and also the IPCC report of extreme events, specifically related to disasters. And all those academics across the world and practitioners also agreed on some of the new definitions that need to be enhanced. So if there were admissions in the IPCC report last week, we adopted them for our purposes. Okay, so that is what we use. If a definition is used as in our act, which was not part of, you know, in the terminology, we use what is in our country. So we look at what is in the constitution, what is defined in other legislation, and what is also defined in the disaster management act, such as the disaster management. So that is the most contentious one. So disaster management, in terms as I explained earlier, for the interpretation of this act, disaster management includes disaster risk reduction. We have incorporated the definition for disaster risk reduction in the act because we dealt with disaster risk reduction issues specifically in the act. We have even gone the far in one of the in 2014, the intergovernmental structures to say that they must enforce on disaster risk reduction in the various different governments. So the municipalities as well as the provinces must enforce on how they deal with disaster risk reduction in their specific sphere of government. So in that way, we have actually tried to compromise the issue of, you know, the term disaster risk management and disaster management. Because as you also heard, there is not consensus in the country in terms of using disaster management or disaster risk management. If you talk to people in KwaZulu-Natal, they will tell you we want disaster management, for instance. People in Western Cape might say disaster risk management. People somewhere else. So there is not a necessarily a strong for that. But for us, what is important is what does it mean? So the term disaster management is some African term. It comes with this disaster risk reduction and rather response. And it might be something to consider to look at in the future to take for some of the issues. Thank you. around the placement of the township. I think we from a national department perspective, we advocate that the township should be on a level where it can coordinate, where it can cross, you know, the cross-cutting function, it can be neutral in the highest office, but we cannot describe that in terms of legislation. So we cannot tell local government, neutral, design the organizational structure according to, you know, this and that. Because once again, in some instances they might want to see the municipal manager's office, in some instances they might say, no, it's better for us in the office of mayor. That's, you know, that is later to see me as the president. So those are things that we have to consider, because in that legislation, we have to create an ad environment that will accommodate the whole of the country. And not only, you know, areas where there is capacity or areas where there is no capacity. So we just try to find a middle ground. But the most important thing for us with regard to the national function is that from a national government perspective, we cannot describe it to local government.
Doctors are very typical too. They would allow you, doctor, to take us to us. They have requested you just to take us to today also. But to ensure that we don't go back when they're here to take us to somebody. Yes, doctor.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I would have liked to be in all the deliberations thus far, and I suppose I've not been able to take my own measurement. But I think from the Lost Dimension Institute, the Southern Africa side, so as I said earlier, our main concern are the Lost Dimension practitioners and making sure that they can function. So if I do comment on the amendment bill, it is related to how can we work effectively. How can we all contribute towards disaster risk reduction? One of the first points I wanted to mention is that we are very glad of many of the amendments which makes the act more effective and support the execution of disaster management and disaster risk reduction in a good way. One of the main stumbling blocks or one of the small many issues were that in the previous act, municipal entities
were instructed by the health information bank. But in fact, municipal entities are very specific structures and are not municipal departments. And that reference to municipal entities are removed and now talks about municipal departments, which means that at the municipal level, the utility services, the protection services, the community services, all of them are supposed to contribute to the social management plan. In a proactive, risk reduction agent way, as well as in a reactive way. Even the finance people need to have their plans in place, how will they support disaster response when disaster response is required, and how will they support disaster risk reduction. So, kind of as an example of improvements on the previous act that our members are very happy about. Then, with the specific mention of the South African Defence Forces and the South African National Defence Force in terms of responsibilities, does make it easier to work with those specific services, but may now enable other stakeholders to say, well, we're not specifically mentioned, so we're not going to do X or Y. So there is a risk from that, and we just need to make sure from a national level that every organ of state realizes their role to play in the disaster risk reduction, whether it is in supporting a way of reducing risk or whether it is in responding to the disaster. And I totally agree about the many statements that disaster risk is really everybody's business. Everyone must make a contribution. I don't know if you progressed further, Jay, in terms of the discussion of disaster management versus disaster risk management. From our side, we believe there must be a champion somewhere for both of them, for reducing disaster risk and for responding to disaster. We know it is a big ask of an official at local municipal level to be so well adjusted and well educated and so let's say pragmatic and able to think on both sides of the fence. So we do agree that it is perhaps difficult to try to put disaster risk reduction, the champion for disaster risk reduction and the champion for disaster response, which people would associate with emergency response services, to put them into one service under one hat. And therefore we believe that, but we do believe it's important to at least identify the champion. We also know that, for example, at the local level, the IDP manager, or the Integrated Development Planning Manager, the person responsible for spatial planning and so on over longer term and for projects, could play a vital role in terms of disaster risk reduction. And when it comes to infrastructure development and risk-averse development, we feel it's important to establish those responsibilities. But we feel the Act has made much progress in this regard. In terms of funding, there have been calls that more should be said about funding, more directly. For example, in section 52, one could say 52A1, the current read, our current read is the way in which the context and principles of disaster management are to be applied in each functional area. And this relates to a department. And many people would say, well, let's add and funding provided, because the funding for disaster management, especially risk reduction, is not with disaster management in a municipality or a national government level. The Department of Transport needs to fund disaster risk reduction in the transport sector. And the South African Police needs to fund risk reduction in relation to each activity. And the water, Department of Water, they need to provision for disaster risk reduction through each activity. On building infrastructure, we are reducing risk if we do the development directly. So I think it's really important that somewhere we know that each department must fund its own risk reduction activities. And lastly, then there has been called that some quite many hazards affecting South Africa. The city of Cape Town spoke of something in the 70s. Different hazards that they have categorized into about 20 categories. And
there is not a specific assignment of responsibility for risk reduction of specific hazards anywhere in the legislation at the moment. There has been calls to say, well, we need to be specific. We need to say, transport, the Department of Transport must look after risk reduction and response risk. And nuclear power, the Department of Minerals and Energy Affairs must have responsibility for that. So there have been calls that, and this one suggestion, that a specific allocation of responsibility for different hazards that South Africa is exposed to should be made in legislation, or perhaps in specific legislation with regulation. And I appreciate that way. I want to end by just congratulating the committee for this work in terms of reviewing this legislation, which is really good legislation that we are very proud of, but which we need to internally recognize.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. And colleagues, that's the presentation by those involved. Another point was made, and I think before we came in, that if you work on volunteer, they can be there in thousands. Because whether they made it difficult, even those who are trained to come in. And Johan, you are fine with that. And, you are in Fatima. You also feel inspired here.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a risk. Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, I don't think the police say more, you're fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Sorry.
I want to take that your friend here.
Doctor, I want to say you raised the issue of coordination. The text happens, and I think also the official question the department was raising. In the situation of case, I raised the important issue that I know it always become a problem in local government. How local government structure is as well. Where you have an executive director doing for land planning and disaster management, accounts director for municipal management, and disaster catastrophe coordinator. Other units do not cooperate with that because they are the same level. Therefore, the others are not going to account to the other level. Now, there is a view that we should engage with this legislation. I understand what you are saying, that we don't define organic government institutions. But how do we deal with that situation of coordination? Because you are also raising the police, you have all the other sectors who should be considering their planning in terms of disaster. Then how do we, at the local level, local government level, coordinate that, continue to operate? What do you think that should be better placed? And should we, in defining a legislation, specify in relation to that? The second issue. It's an interesting debate, the debate raised the management. In terms of the constitution, it's stated that it should be a government. But my argument, I'm not a legal scholar, that the main issue that we have is that we want to minimize the disaster becomes minimized disaster when it happens. The eyes make end. I'm using just common sense of here, certain of not expressions. Now, our focus should be to make sure that we deal with the next disaster. And I don't see any legal and constitutional problem to change that. Because what the constitution simply looks like, there must be a problem to deal with the common interpretation. How you name your legislation, I don't think it's a problem. How you put one in your legislation, I don't think that needs us to change, to come and amend the constitution. And I think if we feel very strongly, I think we need to get a legal understanding of that. Because we've changed departments from the president, from agriculture, I think agriculture follows from fishery, as we speak now. The wording of the legislation, I don't think it's critical, but not getting to it because what does it mean to us when we talk about the economy? What does it mean to us when we talk about the economy? I don't think it has not anything to do with
amend the constitution that I'm supposed to speak. Because Allah, I want you to also talk to that.
My question relates specifically to what Dr. Mini was saying about the specific allocation of responsibility for disaster risk management to specific entities or bodies or departments or whatever. And Chair, I think this needs to go to COSCO rather than to the doctor. But it seems to me that we should do this. And not in every case, because there are specific things, exactly like we have in Article 6 of the Constitution, allocation of responsibilities to national, provincial, and local governments. There are specific things that should be allocated, like nuclear energy should go to the either nuclear energy regulator or the Department of Energy. So, Chair, my point is that we could incorporate this very easily through a schedule of those specific allocations, and again, we're not talking about all the allocations, just the ones that need to be allocated to specific entities or bodies or departments, and with a department concerned, including as amendments while we do this. The second point, Chair, or the second two things, and these do go to what the department was talking about. The first is, as my colleague over there has mentioned, it does not require a constitutional amendment to say disaster management and risk reduction. There's no question that it doesn't require a constitutional amendment. It doesn't. Secondly, the clarification of risk reduction is not included in the Act. It talks about disaster management. It talks about reducing risk as part of the definition of disaster management, but it doesn't go further and say, what do they mean by reducing risk? And to that end, the UNISDR definition is actually a very good definition. It states clearly that, and here it is, it says, risk reduction means the concept and practice of reducing disaster risk through systemic efforts to analyze and manage the causal factors of disaster. So now we're going to look at what causes those disasters, including through reduced exposure to hazards, lessen vulnerability of people and property, wise management of land and environment, and improve preparedness for adverse events. That's all collated gives you a very clear task that you can say one of the functions as part of all of these disaster management and disaster risk management responsibilities. You need to do this. You need to analyze the causal effects. You need to identify what they are and say, these are hazards, these are vulnerabilities, these are people that are exposed. I think that's something that we should incorporate. Now, to say that we can look at it at a future date, again, Chair, we're getting this act now. We don't know when it will come before us again. It might be 15 years' time. We have the opportunity now to incorporate this. I think we should.
Thank you, Jim, for the opportunity. Spreading business coordination, I want to tell a story that previously, at a certain stage, the municipal manager of a municipality was, in terms of the old Soil Protection Act, the de facto head of soil protection for the municipality. So the incumbent, whoever was the municipal manager, so one way of another in the city of Cape Town, we used to manage a very effective disaster management, and when a major incident was about to occur and the integration center sits, the municipal manager would chair the meeting and then hand it over to the head of disaster management. So even if that allocation is not direct and current, the way in which the municipal manager interacts with the disaster management function determines largely the effectiveness and whether that person has been got the, as you say, the authority to order people of same or even higher rank in terms of what they should be doing and coordinating the action. So it is a challenge. I would agree that if the function is placed in the municipal manager's office, then the authority would perhaps be easier and the coordination could thus improve. I am cognizant that all other citizens in municipalities would argue the same way. They would all say that we should be in municipal manager's office. So, But to support the argument for the municipal manager's office is once again the fact that disaster management is not a line function. It's a coordinating, transversal function, and its objective is to take the collective forces of the municipality and push it towards disaster risk reduction as well as a proper coordinated disaster response. It's a very long answer, but I would support a bit more seniority for the development and function of that to carry out its responsibility. The second question was the legislation name, and I think to have the opportunity now to change the name, and we could. What function of name is less important to us and the act name is less important than what we need. From our side. And certainly the documentation framework that came out after the fact is based on the International Standards Organization ISO 9001 Risk Management framework. So the whole process of disaster management that is being followed is based on international recognized best practices in risk management. So already the purpose is risk management. In this is currently called disaster management. And those people in those roles are trying to be the champions for both disaster risk reduction and disaster response. The specific allocation of responsibility, I can just mention that there have been efforts to try to take all the others and categorize them. And perhaps for the committee, such here, I can just mention a few of the categories that have been established. For example, you could take hazards and put them into broad categories, and that should be hydrometeorological. So that means things with climate related things like extreme weather, things like that. But the second thing about geological, and then biological, then environmental, then technological, because the last measure is also at the human induced disasters of our world. And then something that relates to mobility of people and refugees, and this is called social context for displacement or mobility. And taking those hazards into effect, then people would create clusters to deal with these hazards. And those clusters would link to the departments in government. And those could be a cluster for infrastructure, transport, and essential services, a cluster for environmental, agriculture, and water, a cluster for community support services, a cluster for emergency services and safety security, a cluster for support services, which would include information technology, and then a cluster for hazard specialists. So there are ways, and one could then link each of these data to these other clusters and allocate specific responsibility in that schedule to specific departments. Then I just want to, in terms of where the discipline is, just share a last story I want to tell. Is that when the Disaster Management Act came in 2002, and the framework subsequently in 2005, and that whole process of moving from the old civil protection to disaster management, you had a lot of guys who grew up in civil protection. They came from emergency services, they came from the military, they came from the police, and they moved into what was then disaster management, called disaster management. The focus of the disaster management economic framework after that was very clear: stop only considering response and think about risk reduction, and really focus on risk reduction. So these people, these functionaries, really started to look how can we reduce risk and do the long-term thing. And I have to say that we have neglected response somewhat in that by taking such a broad focus. We focus on disaster risk reduction, but we sometimes still need to be able to respond when the disasters actually occur. So the response capacity reduced over the years. But it's important in our legislation to make sure that we do everything we can to reduce this, to make sure things do not happen. We try to reduce, in fact, soften the blood. But at the same time, we must maintain a strong response capacity and not neglect that.
Okay, thank you. And want to come to tomorrow as it's coming at this.
Maybe I can just say to some area in the existing principal act, they have the allocation of goals in the meeting, and we welcome the schedule, maybe some other measures allocating possibilities. But already in section 2 of the principal act, it says that when another department or function can do it in the meeting, then it should be dealt with in that legislation. So the thing that needs to be done is that our Minister of the Government is responsible for drug management. They meet with their cabinet members responsible for that assumption and we can gazette that. If we actually really have the position, we can gazette that responsibility. And you know, they need to be under as we call it the drug and the whatever. So we can already see our existing legislation here, and I think it should be something rather to the department to come out with that today. So it can give us the responsibility. In terms of the definition for the drug for reconstruction, there is a definition in the manual for the reconstruction. Everyone can from the IPCC document, which I referred to earlier, but I don't think there is any harm in using the more broad definition of the UNHCR. It is related, the one is a little bit summarized. So I don't think there will be any harm if we use that. I don't think there will be people that affect that because, you know, to emphasize the content of the offer is there. There's one thing that I also wanted to highlight earlier. Some of the presentations, you know, they wanted us to define things that are not even to add. So it's context that, you know, that people are talking about, but if we cannot define something that is not a specific clause referring to, you know, the context of dealing with the context. So we also need to all know that, you know, the definitions that they actually occur in the act or in the legislation. I think that's what they're doing.
Let's say that I just wanted to point out, you know, I mean, some of the faces that we have on the, you know, my faces when I was at university. I think what I would want to bring to the committee is that we shouldn't think that disaster management issues are simple. They are very complex. There's a very famous quote by the former Secretary General of the UN who says, the value of disasters cannot be measured, you know, of disaster risk reduction. How do you measure a disaster that never happened? And in our system of governance, a lot of the time money that is put into disaster risk reduction, you know, we want to measure what was the outcome. How do you measure that a disaster, that a tsunami, a flood, that? What is the benefit to that community? So we need to really recognize the complexity of what you are dealing with. Another issue, Chair, and this last issue, I'm sure my inputs will work on something, is that we need to understand that we're not only writing this legislation for understanding, you know, as practitioners in disaster management. We are writing this as a social contract to the people of South Africa. And the people out there in the field must also understand this legislation because they also have a role to play. We need to understand how we are going to write this legislation that our traditional leaders can, you know, understand these things, use their knowledge, their understanding, their age-old idea into the disaster field to assist us in, you know, in dealing with the world. There's a wealth of knowledge that has been written about the value of indigenous knowledge systems in disaster management, but I think we are not tapping into those issues. We are trying to introduce some of those amendments in this book that we can really bring our traditional leaders on board and say, how do we understand these things? And how do we then bring these things to life? But as a committee, you know, in my inexperience of dealing with portfolio committees, please forgive me, you have a very difficult task. Because the issue that we're dealing cannot be simplified by a few words
with the name of the document. It must be simplified in a way that everybody understands, and that would be the key thing. So to me, we cannot really discount the value of definitions. Because one thing to me that is clear today is even in the academic principles, even in the practitioner realm, in the political realm, we do not have clarity of what we mean when we talk about the risk reduction. Let's get that clarity. I think that is an important aspect that we need to take away. So that when we sit in implementation, we do not have these ongoing arguments about is this not disaster risk management or is it disaster risk reduction. That they have the legal instrument in our hand is to say that argument has been put to bed the way in which we as South Africans see it. I support the principle that we must look towards implementing international agreements. That is fundamental to our legal structure. But we also should look at how we as South Africans govern these you know, in achieving international agreements, but also in how we deal with those issues at home. So for me, Chair, the task at hand is really difficult. It may appear to be simple when you look at the content of the amendment, but some of the issues that have been raised here today talks to very, very complex things. So we really need to consider on how we are, you know, taking these issues forward.
Let me check.
From a legislative drafting point of view, maybe my colleague would assist the committee in saying that the purpose of legislation when the training is drafted, its aim is to provide a framework for that particular project. And it's referred in more general, simple terms, as my colleague was saying. When you begin to go into detail in legislation, you are running a very short question of not foreseeing or not covering all aspects that you want to cover. And it would mean that for that legislation to be amended, it may take another 10 years or whichever is correct in the case of the year. So my suggestion to the colleagues is that it is desirable to leave the Act as broad as possible, but not ambiguous. And to provide the details in regulations and other supporting regulations.
Yeah. You see, right, the latter part of the legislation is part of Parliament for the past 10 years of Parliament. But last year, Parliament to allow Minister Cameron to regulation. For quite a long time, I remember this question
I'll give you an opportunity tomorrow.
No, I want to come to something.
As long as you are in.
Yeah. No. It's but we cannot always rely on regulations. Because regulations also can't. Do not have to understand what things can be to postpone the situation. That's why when we deal with legislation, if that we can deal with, when it's the given of the legislation, we must deal with there are issues we can deal with for regulation. I know this item is a good, but it's very general for legislation. We always deal with things for regulation. I'm very interested because we are making a legislation in the must not just pass this legislation because we just want to move on to this legislation. This debate was happening about whether our outlook to this legislation is going to be progress or going to focus. It's very important for us to know that we should start this. Now, I want us, if we are consulting this legislation, when the department come and convince us why we should sit and not move towards a risk management issue. Because if you listen to what they're saying, that is our legislation must not only be interventionist, but it must live with the people. Because others have a certain environment, need education, where people partake and prevent them from what would be our risk. The risk definition is very important on how this legislation actually is going to look like. They were very interested. I'm going to want us to talk more about why we can move towards risk in terms of this legislation, but not on a constitutional issue. Because I think we've dismissed the constitutional aspect. What convincing argument that we can't change with the international norms of how the world looks at? But in some aspects, you are saying we have adopted international definitions. But why in this respect
and as far as risk is concerned, we don't want to take the international
Okay, no, it's tomorrow is the day, I'm told. Well, we're privileged, it's a point of privilege. And there's nothing like that in the rules, but we use it now, point of privilege. Man, I know every time in the house it stands up, the point of privilege.
No, that's my brother, Malema.
Point of privilege.
Honorable Malema.
Okay, colleagues, now, I do think that tomorrow again we have some presentation to be made, and your hand, thank you very much for your presentation. And I'm sure you can't put everything under the sun in the legislation. But all the intended purpose of the legislation will be clear. And the meaning of the legislation will be clear. Your advice would be confusing all of us to do that. And I think let us work it out tomorrow, like still here. I think we are selling it apartment. We are meeting here. This one is a permanent committee. Very nice. When there's a situation, just go down and come better. That's fine. Ma'am, I know that you like that stuff.
Particularly?
Okay, thank you very much. So thank you very much, colleagues, for contribution. We'll meet tomorrow.
Oh, okay.